Hi, everybody. How are we doing?
What's going on?
Welcome back to I Digress.
Welcome back. Best podcast ever.
It is me, your favorite pillow hanging off to the side, Solo.
It's me, Des, sitting in my room, you know.
All right. How are we feeling, Desmond?
We here.
I feel that.
We here. New week, new day, you know. Still being consistent.
We love that, yeah.
I know, right?
We both had quite a morning.
I know, right? It's been a wake-up call, you know. No Maroon 5, you know.
Oh, God. Oh.
I love that song. I know, but yeah.
Makes sense, because you like NSYNC.
Who doesn't like NSYNC?
Me.
Because you didn't grow up with taste, but it's cool.
No.
It's cool.
No, that's not why.
Yes, it is.
No, it's the caucasity of it all.
Really?
And I'm not a fan of boy bands.
Really? The caucasity of it all?
Yes, I do not like boy bands.
I know, but the caucasity of it all.
Yes.
Lana Del Rey.
Yeah.
The caucasity of it all.
She's an exception. She wants to be Hispanic so bad. So
she wants to be all... No, she doesn't know if she's... All Lives Matter or Hispanic. It depends on what day you
catch. Or Native American. She wants to be that too.
Something like that, yeah. You know. And then go play video games with ASAP Rocky.
That doesn't help you.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the premium as much as he.
Oh does, no, but he's yeah. trash. Yeah.
But yeah, back
Which
to the
sucks
week
because he's attractive.
But I digress. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've been good. Ash has been a very good week. Being more appreciative of the small things.
Like?
Meditation.
Love that, yeah.
I've actually gotten into mantra-based meditations. Mm-hmm. Like I told you, I've been using the OAK app. I've actually been doing a course on how to properly use, attend a course on how to properly use mantra meditations. And it's been very uplifting and a very
cathartic?
A nuanced time. Because I didn't know that it would be so transformative and so, like, inner peacefulness
yeah.
that can be sought out and everything else like that. But that's been good. And, yeah, sports still being sports guys, you know.
There's stuff happening with sports?
Yeah, LeBron won his fourth NBA championship this week.
That I'm going to shut up. Because I didn't even know that there was an NBA championship going on.
The NBA is actually the safest place to be in America right now. It used to be the safest place to be in America because they ran from, 3 months in that bubble. And ever since that bubble started, no positive test.
That's good. They have a good team.
They have a good commissioner. Care. Yeah, a good commissioner. Actually made sure everything was good. And he put everything on literally lockdown. No fans, no nothing. Every fan was in through Zoom.
Yeah, that was really cute. How yeah. like when I saw like clips of the games and they yeah. were like in the fake stands or whatever.
Yeah, fake stands. More improved camera angles and the games were more intense because it's almost like it shows you how much fans actually really matter to the games because basketball players who weren't really like known, who weren't really like names or something like that were proving themselves almost like. The pressure was taken off without the audience being there for some players, and they were mm-hmm. showing out like they never shown before. It's almost like you see how much the crowd is a psychological either advantage or disadvantage.
Oh yeah,
when it comes to playing.
And then it's also speaking to like some players who may have like who may get anxious.
Yes,
just being in the type of crowd because even though, well, it's in my experience. Doing things in a performative manner,
mm-hmm.
it does feel easier when you're doing it with a group.
Yes.
And it's more scary when you're doing it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when that's not even a thing, you perform way better. Like, that's why some people are like, you know, your rehearsals are always better than your actual performance.
Yeah. And I think it also even added an element of competition because it's almost like, let's say you got beaten by like 20 by the other team. You have to see the person who you were guarding that whole game a few minutes outside later.
Yeah.
As opposed to going back to your team hotel or going back to your allocated city that you play in, kind of added that little spice of like competition to it. Because mm-hmm. it's almost like you never had to imagine you're guarding a person and he drops 40 points on you, and then you have to see him at the dinner line. If you get what I'm saying, it's almost like, yo, you're like, it if used in the right way, it can give you the motivation to get better, and it did give people some motivation to get better. And plus, you saw a lot of people get fired as well, because it's almost like, what excuse do you have? I'm like, you had all the time to prep, practice, and not prep like with your team, but you have all the time to fix your game plans and do what you needed to do.
Definitely.
During that off time during COVID, but yeah, people got fired, and LeBron won his fourth championship.
That's cool.
Yeah, and then he's still going to play a few more years because my man's trying to go out with a few more rings.
How many does he want?
He's tried 10 times and only won 4, so he's trying to...
Does he want 10?
He probably would want a 10. If he got 10, he would have been the greatest player ever, undisputed. But, yeah, it didn't happen because there were some teams that were better.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know he had that many rings.
You're about to say how?
Mm-hmm.
How something?
Like, how do you, like, how old is he?
LeBron James is...
Because won't they make you stop or something like
no,
that?
No, you don't stop at all. You only stop when either your talent takes a nosedive or you call time on yourself or no team wants to pick you up. Those are the only 3 ways you stop. Other than that, you can go until the wheels fall off.
Hmm.
He is right now... How come it tells you... This is the weird thing about it, so...
What? Oh, it's not showing you, like, the age or whatever?
Yeah, it was showing me, like, the...
year he was born.
Huh?
Is it the one where they, like, show you the year they're born, but they don't actually say the age?
No, it says the year they're born, the little blurb that they give them. That you know, like, this is this person's quick bio.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you the birth date. It doesn't tell you the age that they're at. So LeBron James is 35.
Okay.
And this is his 18th year in the league. No, 17th. Coming up on his 18th year in the league.
Oh, so he's been in basketball since he was 18 or 17.
Yeah, he was actually the first. After him, they closed down the... After him, which shows you how... much he impacted the game, they closed down the high school to NBA pipeline. Because before him, like Kobe Bryant did, you were able to go from, if you were actually that talented enough and not good enough, you were actually able to go from high school straight to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the way the world is moving and the way we evolved and everything else like that, after LeBron, who was like a once-in-a-generational talent, skip college, and people always have the what if my man could have been a college great, everything else like that. And colleges were pissed off that they didn't make any money off the back of this black man.
Mm-hmm.
So they shut down the college to NBA pipeline and then made a rule, the NBA with the NCAA, which is the college sports board, made a rule that you had to play 1 year of college basketball to be eligible to play in the NBA.
That is kind of stupid, but okay.
It's kind of stupid, but, you know, white supremacy is in every facet. You actually look at it. But that happened. But now we're getting to the point where people are coming. It's been a conversation in the sports world for a long time about paying college athletes. And now that's actually coming to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And now college athletes are now starting to be, they're now in the process of letting college athletes be able to make a likeness of their name. Because the last one to come out was Zion Williamson from Spartanburg, South Carolina. Went to Duke. Made Duke a lot of money. But even though we know those backroom deals that go on, almost like, I think there was a story that said he was paid a certain amount to go play for Duke and was giving back to sponsorships and everything else like that. But as we all know, we all play in different rules.
I mean, but I don't see why that's a problem. It's his, why can't he not?
Because of that rule in place. Yeah. And plus the NCAA eligibility clauses are very, like, tightly bound to the point where it's so draconian. Even to the point where it's almost like your player, like Zion, who you know is going to go number one. He did go number one when he went into the draft. Making like, I think, $15-16 million off his first contract. But then his head coach has been making $12 million at Duke for like since Zion was born.
I didn't even know college basketball coaches made that much.
College football and basketball get paid. If you're a coach and you're a good winner, that you get paid. You cash out. And this is why you see so many college coaches actually not even step up to the NFL. Because you basically have uninterrupted power. These kids have to work for you, and you can actually ruin their future if you wanted to before you go to the NFL. If you, unless it's like an undeniable talent and you can see that they're hating. Other than that, yeah, they can actually have your whole life into your hands and everything else like that. Which is why you see college football and college basketball, college football right now in a kind of a hangman situation. Same with the NFL, because it's almost like, what can they do when they've played this all their lives and their dream is the NFL? And it's almost like they're kind of making you play. Even though they say, if you're talented enough, you can skip it. But if you still need a program to get you into the NFL to make your final push, you kind of have no choice but to risk COVID in order to live your dreams.
Yeah, that's garbage.
I know, right?
Like, that actually really sucks.
And do you want to know what the comic story of the week is? So the head coach of the University of Florida, nicknamed the Gators, Ron Mullen, wanted a full capacity of 90,000 people in their football stadium for the next game to give them the support and the cheer and everything else they needed, the psychological advantage. And then a day later, we found out that his wife, who does this little, they have these little weird traditions that they have in college football games where, like, they make it run for so long that it's kind of like ingrained in the culture. So the wife, like, gives everybody a kiss before they go out on the field and stuff like that. And she gave 15 of the first team players COVID. So somebody's like, yeah.
Okay, first of all, COVID aside, personal space.
I know, but you get so indoctrinated into that world. It's kind of like fraternities in a way, if you get what I'm saying.
Oh, I would never do that.
I know you wouldn't. But I know you wouldn't. But you can actually say houses are kind of like, kind of have that mentality.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, but no. Would you push back on?
Because with a house, originally,
yeah,
it's not that much like, it's not that much now in my experience. Originally, houses are very, it's built on the basis of support and not of supremacy that I noticed some fraternities are built on.
Yeah.
And it's not here to launch your career. It's literally meant to keep you loved and cared about.
Okay.
And there's also like not that weird hazing shit or like the animosity that typically happens. I mean, houses, there can be elements of animosity. I mean, it's a bunch of queens in a house, literally and or figuratively. So I mean, it can happen, but typically that's not the point of it. Like, it's pretty much based solely on support and you use and you being a team to make a name for yourselves in that, I don't want to say era, but in that time period of existence or whatever. Whereas now, houses are more of clubs.
Okay.
Where it's almost specifically and solely for just ballroom and like those type of competitions and stuff like that, where members of the house are floating in and out like crazy.
Okay, because it's, do you think the more of acceptance that they're having is not needing there to be a house structure like there used to be?
I feel like that also plays into it, which is kind of sad. Well, it's good, but it's kind of sad because houses are typically, not strictly, but mainly it was for Black and Latino LGBT, like QAA members or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and we all know how that train of acceptance is going for us.
Yeah.
So it's like,
very wayward.
Yeah. So it's like, so for it to be dissipating the way that it is, it's kind of like, we're still dealing with bullshit, but like, okay. And also I feel like it's because of like, which I guess is also good, like the fact that it's out there, ballroom culture is out there, knowledge about like houses and house mothers, house fathers and XYZ, all that stuff is out there and it's televised and it's in media. I understand that and I understand how it's good,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like that's also part of the reason as to why members are floating in and out like crazy.
Do you think it's kind of like same thing that's happening across the country, that like the gentrification of it?
Yeah, because some people are getting into it. Because a lot of people that knew, like when ballroom culture was specifically for the gays and trans men and trans women and stuff like that, if you weren't, to be honest, if you weren't disenfranchised, you wouldn't know about it. Because it was for the disenfranchised. It was for the people who wanted to, some people who just wanted to feel something. Whereas now, it's a source of being discovered by, like, I don't know, some artist who wants background dancers to Vogue in their music videos.
Tiana Taylor.
There you go. So it's like, and again, I mean, that's a good thing because it's getting your mm-hmm. name out there.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But at the same time,
you can stand on your own 2 feet.
Yeah. But it's also, I feel like it's taking away from the camaraderie and sort mm-hmm. of like the packed nature that it is.
It's actually like they said, it takes a village to raise a child. It's almost like kind of removing that kind of village aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of almost like we kind of help each other to build each other up. And make sure that it's, you think it's kind of like removing that second family element.
Mm-hmm.
And you're making it more like passing strangers in the night rather than a safe, warm place that you can come home to.
Yeah. It went from like a home to more of an agency.
Oh, okay. I get what you mean. So it's almost like it's more based on what have you done for me lately rather than how you're doing. That's fucked up.
And there are some houses that are still dedicated to being the way they used to be, like about support
mm-hmm.
and, you know, taking care of each other and care and all that stuff. There are some that are like that, but a lot of big houses that have been a name since the 80s have kind of turned to the whole, it's less of a house and more of an agency,
mm-hmm.
like it's more of a club type of thing. And I mean, that is a little disheartening, but I mean, what can you do? It's the age of media.
True, but no, but you can also still keep that energy alive within
yeah.
your own space and everything else like that. It's not like it's completely gone.
Yeah, it's not, yeah.
I think for me, the thing about it, and I think the only critique I have about that whole thing, even if I can have a critique, but it's almost like I kind of dislike the cisgendered people who take that on as a personality. It's almost like they're like, I'm all the way drag queen. It's almost like, yes, I'm only going to hang around drag queens. I'm only going to...
The entire Housewives franchise.
The entire Housewives franchise. And also, there's a comedian whose whole show is kind of like focused, not heavily focused, but has a lot of drag queen guests, and I'm just like, I get you love it, but some part of me doesn't feel right up. If you get what I'm saying,
regards to that, I would just hope that you're paying these queens.
Yeah, and I think it's just like a podcast appearance. I think it's one of those things where she's actually friends with them in real life, so they come on and kind of like do her a quote unquote favor. But I'm just like, old girl is kind of using you like a prop, but if you don't feel that way, cool. But that's the vibes mm-hmm. I'm getting from it.
Because, I mean, ballroom and drag and gay culture, that's always been siphoned and like aspects of it have been taken away and used in current culture or current pop culture in terms of like vernacular, fashion, mannerisms. It's just they take aspects of gay culture and integrate it into their lifestyle or pop culture or whatever and make that the norm. Mm-hmm. But they forget the part where it came from, the gays. But specifically, because I'm going to be clear here, Black and Latino gays.
Yes.
Because it didn't really come
from the white side.
And when it comes down to the white gays and like white trans women, but more so the white gays, you can even feel the tension of a superiority inferiority complex when you're in a lot of those spaces like that. And I mean, not all of them are like that, because there are a lot of, like, you know, white LGBT people who have been in the ballroom scene since forever. Like, they love it. It's their life. It's what they know. It's what they grew up in. And a lot of them, especially in the 80s and 90s, when it was extremely frowned upon to be any aspect of that, that was their home.
Yeah.
Versus now, it's not that anymore. And it's just, it's grown in a different way. And so now it's like gay culture is now pop culture. But you guys don't attribute that to who you got it from.
Yes.
Like, you get your hair and your makeup done by these, you know, Black makeup artists and these black gay hairstylists or trans women who are your hairstylists. And you hear them talking to you or talking to their friends, and you're asking them questions like, oh my God, girl, what does carry mean? Like, what does trade mean? What is gag? Because Kiki Palmer didn't make that up. Like, what is shade? What is, like, why do y'all say cis? And then we tell you or we teach you, which we have no problem, because we're not like, oh, you can't know what these words mean. Like, it's fine. But then you take that and you use it in your everyday language, and then it just filters out through that.
And you don't give credit to the original sources. It's basically like a step upon the Black culture siphoning machine. It's almost like
exactly
you get cisgendered and then you move a level up. And then I think for me, it's more about just like, I know about the lingo and everything else like that, but I'm just like, if it's not, I'm very much of a whole, if it's not me naturally, why would I say it?
It's, yeah, very that. Because there are some people, when they try to use it, it makes me want to vomit. Yeah. But
like, if I say it to you, you know I'm trolling.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, and I think for me, it's almost like it's also getting comfortable. And I think it's one of the whole thing is like the accessibility that we have in this day and age is actually too much. And it's almost like when listen to Kid Fury, and he says, and he calls everybody girl.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you don't
understand. And I can't help it. I literally can't.
And it's almost like if you don't understand that, why are you making it so personal about you when it goes out? This is a show that has millions of listeners. And plus, it's almost like he knows you're not a girl. If you get what I'm saying, I'm just like, why do you get offended when somebody's talking how they usually talk?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like policing languages and whatnot. But the thing that really upsets me most.
But then they'll turn around and use it.
Yes. The thing that upsets me the most is like, don't say you're okay with something if you can't be around it.
I mean, it goes back to that whole, like, that conservative senator of South Carolina. You're okay with it if it's your way of wanting it delivered to you.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like
you're fine with gay men as long as they're straight passing.
Or you're okay with gay men unless they're, like, fully flamboyant, like a Santana.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like you cannot take a guy who's actually, like, in the middle. You don't know what to do with that, because I'm just like, no, people are complex.
Because that's not anything that's televised. That's not anything that's become a socio-norm. Like, it's astonishing to me that it still happens, because it's just like, especially from Black people, but as far as feeling like an accessory, like, I feel like I'm a handbag to you,
mm-hmm.
I've mostly felt that when I was younger, when I had amongst certain white friends, more so than black friends. Because with my black friends, I didn't necessarily feel like an accessory. I knew I was the odd one out because duh. But like, I didn't feel like you're toting me around like a bag.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a cool bangle to look at or something. Versus when I was with certain white people, it was always, oh yeah, look at my gay friend, honey. And it was like, I could slap shit at you right now.
Exactly.
Like that makes me cringe so bad. Versus when I'm like with my black girlfriends, I immediately feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like, oh, this is where I need to be. Because it's like they don't do all that. Like, I mean, they refer to me as sis, but like we niggas, we've been saying sis. Yeah. All of us say sis. Like
it's almost like I think that's
and they use the language naturally. Because I mean a lot of black women, a lot of women of color are also in the ballroom scene. And I mean, and then it's also black gay culture's also like it's close to black culture. So it's like
very intertwined.
Very. So very. It's like it's easy to for me it just felt right when I was with them and they would use a language and we would be out and I wouldn't feel like they're toting me around because mm-hmm. it's not they weren't doing that. Versus the other end and it felt like they were. Because it's me, the one black flamboyant gay boy, and then
I think it's the same, kind of like the same with like with me and you as well.
Yeah.
It's because it's one of those things where it's almost like I just like you from the mat because you were cool.
Yeah.
Even though there's like I think the one thing that us cisgender people need to recognize is that just because we're friends with somebody in the LGBT IA plus community. you still always need to recognize that you have work to do because there's not just because you met one person doesn't mean you've covered the whole community or you still mm-hmm. haven't encountered some unchecked biases or
mm-hmm.
feelings that you don't have and something like that.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like it's still a learning process.
Yeah.
And just be honest with yourself if you can, because it's almost like nobody's expect almost like Eddie Winslow mm-hmm. from Family Matters went public with Sydney Starr yesterday.
Okay.
And that actually made me very much so like happy because I'm just like, yo, I actually want to see more black men actually just stand up in their truth.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Because it's almost like I hate that connotation of it's either straight or it's bi. Or it's either straight or it's gay. They're yeah. still not public. They're
what
still not
irritates me with that is the fact that so many people are fully on board with like when it comes to women, which is fine. When it comes to women, it's like, oh, yeah, there's, like, straight women, there's lesbian women, there's bi women, there's curious women, there's studs, and no, they're not trying to be men. They're women. That's just how they choose to present themselves.
Yeah, they're symboling.
But then when it comes down to, yeah, but then when it comes down to men in that type of aspect, it's like, bi men don't exist. It's either gay or straight. If you dress femininely, you must want to be a woman.
Yep.
And it's like, where's the disconnect? And it's a hatred again towards femininity. And it's also baffling to me. I'm so glad we're here because I want to pull over. DL niggas get on my nerves.
Hold that thought.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Hold that. Welcome back.
Hi.
You were saying?
I hate DL niggas.
Let's go.
So if you don't
okay,
know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Watch this later. Yeah.
If you don't know, DL is down low niggas, men that are hiding the fact that they are anything that's not straight.
Yeah.
So
gay, bi, into trans women or trans men.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, or even non-binary.
Mm-hmm. Or it could be as simple as like a weird ass fetish. But even that's closer to being accepted. So they get on my nerves. Why? I'm gonna tell you. Because when the cishet black male societal mindset that I've noticed amongst, like, you know, straight men is like, I'm that nigga, like, very much bros before hoes. Mm-hmm. You know, very much I do what the fuck I want. I don't care what nobody says. I'm gonna do me. I'm gonna grind and get this money. That blows my mind. Because you can't, in the same breath, say you don't care what nobody thinks. You don't care what nobody says about you because you're gonna do you. You ride dolo, XYZ. And then also be scared to come out because you're scared of somebody else's opinion.
And I think it's one of those things where if he actually revealed that to your homeboys, is that they realize how many people in their friend group or actually in their personal lives don't really mess with them that much. It was more conditional to begin with.
Exactly. Like it's very performative.
Yes.
Like, there's so many men that I know who you're performing when you're with your friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not you because I know who you are. You do not do these certain things that you're doing with, you know, your friends or whatever. And it's even that, like, it doesn't even have to be a year by or a year whatever. Mm-hmm. It could just be, like, your personality and the way it's set up and the way that you behave. And you're putting on a whole performance and an act for the sake of someone's opinion, even though you said you don't care.
And you got out the mud and you're this, that, and the other, you know.
To the point where some of you niggas are paying the dolls to even look in your direction.
Yes.
Paying actual American dollars. Cash apping, Apple cashing. I don't do checks because them things bounce. You know.
They're not going to hit Venmo because that's too public.
Very. Paying for them to give you attention. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, that's perfectly fine. You know, you want to fund, you know, sex work. Mm-hmm. That's perfectly fine. I'm here for it. Because, I mean, sex working, again, I don't see the issue with it.
It's, yeah.
So, but
they still get taxed, so.
Exactly. So it's like, if you're going to do that, do that. That's perfectly fine. However, it's just the aspect of the fact that you're so scared of who you are or your personality or your sexuality or who you want to lay with or your kinks or your real background, because a lot of y'all not from the hood, but y'all want to act like you're from the hood so bad. Ooh, that bothers me.
suburban-ass PTA meeting going.
Like... Y'all want to hide all that for the sake of a performance in front of niggas that you swear you don't care who talk about you. Mm-hmm. That makes no sense. And to the black men who aren't from the hood, but you want to be from the hood so bad to the point where you're faking talent going into studios, which is just unfurnished apartments. You're, you know, wearing certain clothing that you know you have no knowledge about or you were not raised around. You're just following something that you saw on BET in 09. Mm-hmm. Or you put on this whole persona the minute you leave out of your home. To you, I want to say fuck you. Period. I like you less than DL niggas. Like, it's that level of perpetration. It's that level of clout chasing. Like, you're no better than Bad Baby, honestly. The Catch Me Outside girl. Like, you know better than her. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know you're not from this. You know you aren't this. So why go to the extent of faking the background of being from that? And it's annoying.
Do you want to know who really annoys me, but everybody seems to love and everything just like that? And it really, and I, even though I'm not, even though I feel like it's not my place to be annoyed and whatnot, I really cannot stand to the bottom of my core, Lando Romano.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I cannot. I'm just like, yo, you are literally, and some black women co-sign it. I'm just like, go ahead, you do what you need to do, but you are literally making money off the back of black women. Mm-hmm. Your whole shtick is black women.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that annoys me, since this is going to be this what annoys me episode, fuck it. Another thing that annoys me is I'm sick and tired, I mean tired, of black men using black women as comedy props to get on. Choose another fucking routine, you hack. You are not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Watch as many wig installation tutorials you want to do and do like and be like, yeah, I'm like that. But that is the lowest common denominator of comedy ever.
Or at least get a good wig.
This guy yesterday I saw on the timeline, Ashley was just using a towel as a kind of like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, in Galilee, some people called it that, like, really? We're still doing women-based comedy as a man now?
When you could just give credit to a female comic.
Mm. But it's almost like there's actually a few people now that I see in the black community who are actually just, like, funny off of Instagram skits, like, truly funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only one I can actually mention off the top of my head is Juicy's Too Funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he came off of, he lives in Atlanta, so he's actually just pairing life of actually living in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But he really took off when he was mimicking white frat boy behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Which is relatable.
Yeah.
Because
We see it.
And plus, we know there's black guys in these white fraternities.
Mm-hmm. Very much Oreos.
Yeah, and it's almost like he actually made a whole cloud line off of it because he's like, it's called Kyle Roger University.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can say that for even the white community, because there are some white gay community and Instagram accounts or whatever,
mm-hmm.
who parody the white gay hairstylist.
Yes.
And it's actually funny.
Yeah.
They parody the Kardashians. I forget his name, but he's actually funny.
What's that black dude who does like Love and Hip Hop reenactments?
I know you're talking about Reggie.
I think so.
I think it's Reggie.
No, because he had like I remember I watched him
where he uses week. Like the puma for some people, like the little cat in the cutscene.
Yes,
yeah.
Because he had Mimi Faust in mm-hmm. some of his videos.
Yeah, that was everything. Yeah.
And with the Stevie one,
mm-hmm.
yes, that was actually funny. And I'm just like, okay, those are the people that are actually like really doing it and really actually care about the craft and everything.
Yeah, like they're not. Like, it'd be, because it's, like, it's so specifically that. Like, if you're going to parody something, own it, attribute it, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
that. Because, like, with the white gay stylist parody, like, it's very much L.A. white gay stylist on cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly. Like, it's very that specific, and it's just that. And then when it's, like, you know, the Kardashians, it's spot on. It's the Kardashians. Like, we know that. So it's like, there's material out there for the dolls.
There is.
To do certain things.
You're not looking at all.
And it's like, you don't have to do this pandering or this, what do they call it now? Culture vulturing. I don't like saying that because a lot of people misuse it.
Appropriation.
Yeah, there we go. And it's just like, it just irritates me the two ways that irritates me is when people that are not black women attribute themselves to black female comedy and black men who are not of a low income or a background where they're from the hood,
mm-hmm.
but they play like they are. And that irritates me because of how I was raised. And it's like, because I know one boy, I knew for a fact he was from the hood, but he wanted to play like he was. He wanted to be a rapper. The bars weren't that good, to be clear. Just saying.
Yeah.
No, nobody hits. I mean, I listened to a track unwarranted.
It's actually very good of you, because I wouldn't.
No, I didn't want to. I got it, deleted it. A friend of mine got it and wanted me to hear it. Oh. And made me like sit and listen.
Why would they do that?
They wanted me to be mean. But I'm a good person. I didn't do that. I'm lying.
I know you did.
So, and I remember one day he was talking about how he had gotten shot at before when he was at the studio, and he was talking about it like it was funny, mm-hmm. like it was fun, and it was cool, and it was like the thing to do. And that bothered me because I'm just like, you're not from the hood, and no. you're like glamorizing this, and it's not really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there are certain things you can glamorize specifically from the hood, like, I mean, hood fashion or whatever. But it's like you're glamorizing like the parts that aren't so fun. Like being shot at is not fun
at all, and it's very traumatic.
And especially when I'm having like a very vivid memory of the daily errand of my mom or my dad taking me to my big mama's house because she raised me.
Mm-hmm.
And like on certain days when we're getting breakfast, my mom choosing to feed me instead of herself because we didn't have enough money for both of us to eat from the McDonald's. But then it's like, here you are, and then being gay in the hood. And then here you are, like, laughing it up, laughing at it, glamorizing it, attempting to make money off of it. I mean, you aren't, but still, you're trying.
Yeah.
And it's like, who do you think you are? And it's the same thing with these comics on Instagram. Like, why not let somebody who is of this identity or of this background or of this nature, why not let them get the light or a piece of that pie? Why can't you get a piece of the pie in your area?
I think some people need to assess how much they want to be close to whiteness.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like there's a reason why you keep on letting these people, a good chunk of them, keep on letting these people pass through every time. And I think that it disappoints me a bit when I see every time a black person pulls up one of these people on a credible critique, mm. and then the past black person says, "Well, like, well, it wasn't funny, it wasn't offending, or why are you saying that about him?" I'm like, he's not. He goes home to his white family, or they go home to their family, and they act normally how they were acting in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then when shit gets serious,
you know,
you see them turn civilian quick.
Mm-hmm.
Press charges, lawyers, this and that, the other. Oh girl, don't try me. And then when you actually put hands on them,
the police are at your door.
The police are at your door, or they're like, I can't believe you hit me, this, that, and the other. And I'm just like, when did you think this was a game? Who told you this was a game?
It's very like, you know, you want to be black until it's time to be black.
Exactly. You want to be black until it's time to be.
And I mean, we see it all the time because, I mean, but that goes for everybody. Like, that goes for politicians, celebrities, regular ass strangers. You love black and gay culture so much until it's time to be black and gay.
They're like, nope, I don't want to be a double minority that much, but thank you.
Especially these politicians. Dear God.
Doing too much.
In the politics right now, Jesus Christ. Like, I want this and this whole... I need everything to be over with at this point. Like, I'm actually tired.
Completely tired.
And I'm not even like seeking news anymore. It's just thrown in my face at this point because I'm not trying.
I've actually been watching it more actively now. I'm not going to lie. I'm watching it more actively. I think it's because just be more. But I realized that the news is actually a day late. If you actually, because I was actually talking to my mom and I told her about a story that happened with California, the ballot boxes that's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her about it the day it happened, and then it was on like CNN the day later.
Mm.
And I'm just like, yo, the news is actually a day late because they really have the schedule programming and everything else like that.
Yeah.
Unless something happens visually that they can cover, they're going to stick to the script.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yo, yeah, you're not going to.
I mean, on a lot of important stuff that you should know, you're not going to see on those, like, media outlets.
Okay, making a sharp left turn. So, y'all people who was like, why are you wishing somebody death or something like that? Now you see why. Now you see why. I was being very cute and curt last time, but I'm like, now you see why. Because this shit, like, this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Man is being a fucking super spreader everywhere. Like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. There's people who do not care. There are people who are almost like, if it doesn't kill me, I do not give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, yo, that's the most egregious part about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there's people out here who really are keeping to the quarantine circles, really just actually minimizing their contact and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like I only have been in contact with 3 people consistently, you being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my circle. And we both know where each other are. We both know, we all know we're being safe and everything else like that. But I think for me, it's one of those things where it's almost like the cognitive dissonance it takes to be a Republican in this country is somewhat amazing. It's amazing.
It's like,
it's gymnastic level.
It's one less, like, they're shy one fuck from just being completely like, oh, I just don't care, from just saying it.
No, some of them are actually saying it now. Some of them are actually saying it now, but I'm like, it's actually like Simone Biles gymnastics they're doing to actually reach that level.
That part.
Because I'm just like, they will not, they'll be like, okay, cool. They're going to take away your health care. Look at the number of people who have died. Oh, Joe Biden supports the rioting in Seattle and everything else like that. And in Portland and, fuck is that called?
Oregon?
No, where Jacob Blake was shot. Kanoa.
Mm-hmm.
Kanoa. I think I'm not even saying that right. But yeah, you guys know what I mean. But at the same time, they'll say that and be like, okay, cool, but how come the Attorney General of the fucking United States has not spoken up about the thwarted kidnap of the Michigan governor? And they had other targets on that list as well. But no, let's not speak about that. No. Amy Coney Barrett, who's actually coming here to actually put the final nail in the coffin, which is going to probably see... Which is probably going to see COVID treatments skyrocket in terms of how much you pay for it and everything else. Mm-hmm. So that, speaking of how much you pay for it, do you actually know it's actually cheaper to pay for a COVID test out of pocket than it is through your insurance?
That makes sense with how insurance works because it sucks.
So to be able to actually, so it's $125 out of pocket to pay for COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl on Twitter was like, tell me why my insurance tried to charge me, even though I paid like $25. Tell me why the whole bill was $750. And this is why I read this on TikTok. Is actually a very useful place when it comes to information and everything else like that. I'm actually finding it a very useful platform because a lot of people are actually spitting like good, useful, life-saving tips. Like if you actually go to a hospital, and your doesn't matter if you're insurance or not, and you want to see what happened at your hospital, ask for itemized bill and watch you see money drop off. Because they're going to take off these bogus charges that don't even mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it pissed me off, and this is what I know. Where I want to find a partner or be with somebody that's for water birth or for home birth, because once I saw they charge for skin-to-skin contact at a hospital, I'm just like, you lost your fucking mind.
Yeah. That's insane.
You can go suck a donkey's dick for that. About skin-to-skin contact. You're charging me to touch me. You're charging me to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
Since this baby, me and her created, you're saying, okay, cool. Because it's in this walls, I will burn this.
Come on, burn it down.
And plus, do you actually know that it's actually not? And men are the sick. And I say this as being a straight man. But do you actually know that childbirth is actually supposed to be done standing up in like a squatting position?
Yeah.
But the reason why it wasn't like that is the reason why we have it to the way that we have it now is because a doctor during that time wanted to see a woman's vagina. And that's the whole reason why women are sitting down and have to get these epidurals that fuck up their nervous systems and everything else like that. Because one sick man wanted to look at a woman's vagina while she's giving birth.
Okay, that's insane. I did not know that.
You didn't know yet?
I mean, I knew that it was optimal to squat. Because I've read up on, like, home births and, like, you know, the natural way of doing it or whatever. And they say, like, you know, the squat is much better.
It is actually much better.
Like, to the point where there are some mothers that have, like, done it alone.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't even be surprised about that. And I think for me, and the thing that really pisses me off is about, like, how are you making decisions for me? Almost like the whole, even though I'm just like, I don't, you know about the whole placenta debate and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't care what you do with that, but I'm like, just give it to the person that it came out of. I don't get this whole hospital keeping things away from you because I'm just like, yo, unless you're actually gonna give me back everything,
mm-hmm.
I don't want you to take anything and be like, you know better than me. I'm like, how do you know better than me? I'm like, you might know my diagnostics and everything else like that.
Yeah.
But when it comes to choices, if I was concerned, give me that back. And they have to be like, oh, we have this whole red tape. I'm just like, over my own body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I actually do think that if they actually do strike down the Affordable Care Act, and I think Road would be the camel with backs breaking and people were actually like riot.
Oh, you want Roe v. Wade?
Yeah. If mm-hmm. actually straightened that, people were actually like
riot. I was recently watching I want to say it was a hearing about it. The fact that it's even being discussed is,
and it's being discussed by a woman who hasn't been to an Ivy League school, who was in a cult, and who also believes that the Constitution should be applied as written. And I'm just like, that means that you're in indentured servitude then. Your job would be made redundant if you actually wanted to be the way that you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the only time I ever say this, but it's almost like, you're actually going to be back in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Literally.
If you're following how it's written.
Yeah. And me and you are 3/4 of a person.
Yep. 3/5.
3/5.
But like, but that goes to like what I've noticed, how there is so much effort and work that they put in to lift up white supremacy, even if it's for their detriment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, girl, did you forget the part where you're a woman? Like, they set this country up not for white people, but for white men.
Who are you telling?
Like, so whereas you might get the next set of benefits, you're not going to get the first. So I don't know what your goal is here, sweetheart. Like, and it just feels like they're so dedicated to taking so many steps backwards because they're almost certain that he's not going to win.
Yes. They're so certain because it's almost like there are so many new registrations, almost like I think there was like 22 million Democrats requested their mail-in ballots this election cycle. 2 million and I think 2.9 million have actually returned them. And that's at a 12.7 refresh rate, as compared to the 9.1 rate of Republicans.
But the reason why I feel like that may or may not matter is because if you're a Republican, likely you are among this odd and asinine and stupid belief that the coronavirus is a hoax. So you probably don't even care to absentee, like, or anything like that. You probably plan on going to the polls.
But at the same time, they still think that voter fraud is still a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
it was in their favor.
It's almost like, yo, I've never seen a group of people. Yeah, you know, they actually committed election fraud with that ballot box thing. I've never seen people try to actually make actually create a theory and then make it the actual boogeyman, actually put steps to make it an actual boogeyman. I'm just like, this is delusion.
Mm-hmm.
People are sick.
Yes.
Seek some help.
Yeah, they need some help.
But it's very... But then when you call them on it and actually be like, hey, let me actually reason with you, they'll be like, okay, cool. They'll actually get you, but then they'll see their compatriot in the background and be like, don't listen, don't talk to me. And they're like, yeah, I'm right. And I'm like, just know what the most funniest thing about America is, and this is going to sound, this is just my sense of humor. So, do you all know who's in support of getting rid of the ACA and getting rid of all the benefits that come with it? A fat white man who was in a disability scooter with a Trump 2020 flag on their mobility scooter. If you cannot see the comedy in that, I don't know where you can see it.
Are you?
You haven't seen one of these Trump rallies before, have you?
Oh, absolutely not. But my thing is, that makes sense because even when they were talking about getting rid of like EBT and food stamps and stuff, and it's like you realize it's not
white people.
It's white people that use it the most. Mm-hmm. Like it's not this idea that it's lazy niggas that are doing it.
And then you see how actually elitist your so-called party is. I'm like, yo, that is the most funniest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even like the Daily Show did a segment where they went to a Trump rally, and it's almost like, oh, my dad has, he's immunocompromised, but I'm still here at a Trump rally. And he's like, so you're going to go affect your mom and dad and everything? It's like, maybe. I'm just like, wow. Y'all are really, really bugging.
Yeah. And I knew one girl who did that who I used to work with. Like, I recently found out through another friend. She sent me, like, a screenshot of her Instagram because I don't follow her. Her and her mama, they went to, like, a Trump rally or whatever. And I'm like, I didn't know there was one in Charlotte, but okay. I mean.
Yeah, that's actually a big one because the NASCAR, mm-hmm. all famous here, so.
But I was also, I saw the picture and I was like, y'all are wearing like these 301 strip lashes and Make America Great Again hats.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't making no sense to me.
No sense at all. No sense at all.
Like I just don't get it. But it's not for me to get. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break, you guys. And we're back. And it's time for a little bit of pop culture that I actually care about this time.
Okay.
So it's a situation regarding Miss Magda Stallion, a friend. Please. Because I don't know all the details.
Okay, so as we all know, Megan Thee Stallion was shot by the Keebler Elf himself.
Too short, but not too short.
You know, Napoleon himself a few months ago. And the lot of questions surrounding the time of the circumstances and why she didn't come forward. Now I got some news that the reason why she didn't press charges that time or didn't move forward with the charges, as a lot of people were suggesting, to believe credibility, because why wouldn't you not believe somebody was shot in the foot when they actually provided you with images of it? But yeah, I digress. But information came out that Rock Nation, her management company, were behind her not pressing charges, is because it was during the height of the Black Lives Matter movement. The momentum was very high in the movement at that time. And plus, we had recently seen the killings of Rashad Arbery and Jacob Blake. Not the killings, but the shooting of Jacob Blake. And they thought that it would be a very bad press move to actually press charges and get a black man arrested during that time. And plus, Tory was protesting at that time as well. So it kind of like narratives and everything else like that can be turned. So I think they waited until the California legal system was able to charge him. Yeah, and he's been charged now. He was supposed to be arraigned yesterday, but they pushed it back. But in alignment with that court date, Meg released an article with the New York Times yesterday. And she released the following piece on her Instagram, which basically stated how we need to protect black women because black women are the least believed. Most are told to be strong, go through it, want to be a freak in the sheets, but need to be a money in the streets, if you get what I'm saying. Almost like they want you to have that duality, but don't allow that space for that weakness that we all experience as human beings. Want you to be strong 24/7. And how black women are the most policed and least protected in this country. And then it was kind of like, I would say it was a good chess move in her part.
Yeah.
To kind of like compound what this guy's actually done to her. And then side story is that her former stylist was actually a leak to gossip sites as well. So it's almost like there's so much happening within that circle to the point where it's just like you have to feel for her.
Yeah.
And plus, even though all that happened, it's almost like I was actually one of those people who was just like, yo, I was still going to believe her, but there was a window for me to just like, hear what he wanted to say, but completely shot. I'm like, as soon as the first month ended and you didn't say nothing, I'm just like, yo.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm saying, because I'm just like, with any accusations, even though I might not believe you, I'm just like, yo, you still have your right to voice what happened in that situation. In any case, so I'm just like, okay.
What irritated me was just the amount of people that listened to that album.
That said nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Like, but y'all look at her like she's crazy when she says protect black women.
And then he happened to be in New York shooting a music video at the same time she was prepping for SNL. Coincidence? I think not.
And it's like, the amount of men that listen to that album are the same ones that are like, she better not be lying, because if she is, XYZ, XYZ.
You're not going to do shit.
Like, what are you going to do? Nothing. And why would she lie about that?
For no reason.
How could she lie about it? That makes no sense.
It doesn't at all.
It's, niggas on my nerves.
I can definitely see that.
However, Tory Lanez, that just,
everything was going right in his life at that time.
Yeah, like everything was going so well.
So, well, just got out of his contract with his major label.
Mm-hmm.
Got fully independent. Quarantine Radio was popping.
Mm-hmm.
He actually did. I think he did the first quarantine concert through, like, YouTube Live. That did a good amount of... he actually managed a good amount of streams that, doing that audience and everything. I'm just like, everything's going good. Singles were hitting, if you mm-hmm. get what I'm saying. I'm just like, why? You and Megan were definitely a thing.
Yeah.
You two were going steady. And even though people make jokes about the Kylie involvement and everything else like that, I'm just like, what makes you think that, one, why you, guys need to check their egos and stuff like, and there's, to me, there is such a thing as leagues and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm just like, yo, if old girl is out of your league, you either need to check your ego and step up or step out.
That part.
Because if you know what you can take, and if you know you get triggered easily, because as this is a perfect example of it doesn't matter how much money and how much fame and who wants to sleep with you or not, everything else of that matter. Everything the stereotypical guy would want to signify he's having a good life.
Mm-hmm.
If you're still not right mentally, mm-hmm. if you're still not right within yourself, that doesn't change nothing.
And it especially won't work when you're dealing with somebody who won't stand for it.
You get a strong black woman who's very affirmed in herself and her sexuality and very much a happy-go-lucky person who seems like she would be down for you, like really down for you.
Well, she would have to get down for you.
But you know, but yeah, and it's almost like, why would you look to give horse in the mouth?
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen somebody just move so shifty.
Because to men like him, they feel like
enough is never enough.
Enough is never enough, and a black woman, whether it be Megan or anybody, you're all disposable.
Mm-hmm.
You're all disposable and you're all replaceable. That's confusing to me just because when I first started seeing them hanging together, I want to say like before quarantine, like they were friends or whatever, I think. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to go past that just because I was like, I don't see it.
Same here.
But there's no way y'all could not have had a little something or whatever. I don't know. Simply because what could have charged you? What could have triggered you to do that? Even though there's no way for me to rationalize that happening because you just shot somebody in the foot.
Twice.
And it's like, why? Like, it's already not rational, but what drove you to be that irrational? I don't get that.
It doesn't make sense at all.
And the army of people that you have behind you just caping for you for no reason.
All because it's trying to dig down the black man. If you don't shut up.
But it's like, where's the denial? You were quiet the entire time.
Entire time.
And then your arguments were so dumb about it.
I didn't do it. Okay, yeah. We believe you're not Sherlock. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like, okay. Do we have any proof? I mean, there was like video of her stepping out of the car that y'all were in.
And that's only from the chopper. You already know that the NDA'd the whole place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the other, because you already know there was civilian footage, but they're like, nope, we don't care how much you want for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want this much for it? This is the NDA.
And it's like, all that, because her label was telling her, like, it would be bad for your publicity, and it was also because she didn't want you to get shot.
It was, it's just one of those things where I'm just like, yo.
And I'm kind of irritated that they pushed his trial back, because it's just like, take this nigga now.
If they do.
If they do, yeah.
If they do, because even though he might not have his own label, and even though he might not have a label back in him, you never know when people's hands are in play and other things and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, yeah, we just hope actually justice gets served this time, especially such a high-profile case.
Which makes sense, because, I mean, if you're willing to do this, I won't put it past you that you won't, that you don't have anything else up your sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you already shot somebody, so I don't put it past you that you don't have something coming.
Yeah.
And then you going out of your way to try to take people down with you when you're in hot water, and it's like,
this is all leaking desperation and guilt.
Yeah. Like, you're wrong, and it's the I'm not going down alone mentality.
Stop being stupid, stupid.
Like, you might as well just say I'm guilty. Like, we know you did it. Like, I'm over it. And it's like, it's just annoying, because it's like, okay, he did what he did. What bothers me is just how many people were on his side.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason y'all were on his side was just based on
blind loyalty
or just unwarranted, like,
cape
or and just hate. Dumb hypotheticals.
Yeah. Or no, how do we know she's not involved in?
She could have hit him.
You saw the video.
Like,
I'm just actually more surprised that the driver kept the ride still while this was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because for it to happen in the car, it's just, yeah, prayers for Megan and everything else like that.
And I mean, and it sucks, because it's like, not only do you have to deal with this nigga lying on you, so many people believing it, and then you have people that are like doubting your credibility simply because you're a black woman.
Mm-hmm. Who stands fully in her blackness?
Like, literally, the person with the hole in the foot is not being believed.
It's a messed up society we live in sometimes.
And it's a shame, because it's like the reality on a lot of situations.
It really is. Almost like, I saw this woman who actually lives in Baltimore, who actually went out with a guy, was in a relationship with him for a while. And then he turned, she didn't know because, how can you know in these situations?
Yeah.
How can you know in these situations that the person that you're dealing with is a serial domestic abuser?
Yeah. Because if you knew, of course, you wouldn't do
it. Yeah,
but
because they don't really, they tell you about sex offenders, but don't we tell you about, it's kind of
their methods of disguise. Or
yeah.
Being a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah. It's almost like we have a sex offenders one, but we don't have a domestic violence like tracker.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we actually did that, we actually know the majority of law enforcement would be on there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. And if the amount of men that will be signed up for that, and in comparison to the minority of women that will be signed up to that, it's almost like, yo, yeah, that would actually get the table shaking and everything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
But my thing is, it's astonishing, because you have sexual offenders who pretty much have to ask permission from their area to live in a place.
Mm-hmm.
But domestic abusers don't.
They can be like, this girl, she set up a GoFundMe. This guy texted her 1,080 times. Made 80 different Instagram accounts.
My God.
I was almost like, yo, this is sick. And then he has four cases in different places. And then the thing that just makes me so sick about the system is that the police never do anything until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like somebody should actually, even though I'm off, this is really why I'm just all for police abolition.
Mm-hmm.
because it's almost like the system was never meant to protect anybody. And the way y'all are moving, you're like, yo.
It's honestly meant to, it. The way I see it now, it's like policemen are glorified recruiters and tax collectors. Mm-hmm. They're here to to pretty much like recruit free labor in these prison systems and charge you ridiculous fines to fund your area.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Pretty much it. But yeah. Sorry to end on a somber note, but.
Oh yeah. So sorry.
But we promise we'll definitely have a fun-filled episode next week.
Oh, definitely. Because we like fun, too.
Yes, we do.
But sometimes we got to get down to business like Mulan.
Yeah, to defeat the Han, you know?
You know.
Because we are men.
No, so bad.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
Oh, God. So, yeah, on that note, we'll see you guys later. It's been real.
Because I'm real.
Okay. Real. Yeah. I'm Salo and this is Dez.
Yep.
Follow us on our socials. I Digress Pod on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter at
Digress Pod.
All right. And you can find us on all of your streaming platforms. Give it a subscribe, rate, listen, and a like and a share.
Thank you so much for listening.
All right. See ya. Love you. Bye.